saying how much they want a strong woman. What they really want is a cheerleader.
I'd like someone who's physically very frail and won't stop talking.
I just want what everybody wants. I just seem to have a harder time getting it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Maximum Film. It's episode 298, and you know what? Moms are great. It's your host, Ify Wadiwayne, in the studio with me are my friends. So let me introduce you to them. First up, we have the Taurus King Christmas Zaddy himself, birthday on the way. By the time you listen to it, it has passed, but still wish him a happy birthday. It's Alonzo Duralde. What's good?
Oh, thank you, Ify. Normally this is the part where I would be like, oh, I finally had the Old Bay goldfish, and thank you, Daniel, and they were delicious. But because I have so many friends with books coming out, I feel like my next several What's Goods are going to be of a literary bent. So this week, I want to tell everybody, our beloved Travell Anderson, friend of the show, co-host of Fanti, has a new book out called We See Each Other, A Black Trans Journey Through TV and Film. And if you have ever heard Travell speak, you know they are brilliant and insightful and hilarious. And all of that is there on the page. I think there's going to be an actual Fanti book in the future that Travell and Jarrett have been doing together. Can't wait for that one. But in the meantime, I have We See Each Other to tide me over for all of my Travell Anderson on the page needs.
Yay, Travell.
Yes, shout out to Travell. They have been on the pod many a times, lending their voice and making us hee hee and ha ha. So you can do the same things while reheating. That worked in my mind.
I hear it's fundamental.
Yeah. Well, you know, what else is fundamental is, you know, regional oligarchies like the Midwest. So we have the queen of the Midwest, Drea Clark, Super Festival programmer, producer. What's good?
I hope somebody quotes that back to you. You know what Ify loves? Regional oligarchy.
Yes.
Big fan.
Comes up all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. What's good with me is a show that came out last month on Roku that does not have any buzz about it. And I truly wish so many people would watch it and talk and discuss. It is called Slip. It was created by Zoe Lister-Jones, who I love, and she plays the lead character as well. It is a sex multiverse sort of comedy. There's only 7 episodes. The entire premise is this woman, who she's married to Whitmer Thomas in the show. She's dissatisfied with her life. And then each episode, and she doesn't get this right away, but basically she switches to a different version of her life every time she has sex with someone. And what that unlocks and her exploration of her own identity, of what she's trying to do with her life, the choices she made along the way. It's super sex positive and in an interesting way. And also the dude that I absolutely went off about when I was talking about Willow is in it. Amar Chadha Patel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Slip, it's on Roku. I think you can watch it just free with ads. Like, yeah. It's such inventive TV and no one's seeing it.
I love Zoe Lister-Jones, and that has been on my list to get to. But I do love that we live in an era where part of the selling point of a TV show is how little of it there is.
Right? Well, I think it's for me because, as you know, I like to marathon things. So I'm like, oh, 7 episodes. Mama likes.
Yeah. That's one laundry folding session.
Exactly. I have a lot of laundry.
Well, you know, that's good. You got to get to that, get it going. And you know who else is going to get going? It is none other than fellow meathead, author, and co-host of Reading Glasses. Her latest book called Girls Make Movies, Mallory O'Meara. What's good?
Speaking of being a meathead, I was just going to say the thing that is very good with me this week is I finally got a new bench PR for the first time since I got COVID last year.
Congrats.
I'm a power lifter and I got COVID last summer from visiting Texas. Highly do not recommend. 0 out of 10. And it really fucked up my training for a long time. And I finally PR'ing on bench. Very, very happy about it.
Congrats.
Feeling good. Feeling meaty. Yeah. Feeling beefy.
To you and your bench, ma'am.
Yeah. You know, for those who don't know, PR, personal record.
So thank you. I was going to say, oh, you got a publicist. How exciting.
Lots of us about to text us.
They broke that. You know, we're just out here. I'm doing more of an aesthetics lift right now. I'm going to have to, just for old time's sake, it's getting close to June, I'm going to have to hit the golds and coal to see all the buff bears getting it in pre-pride lifts. It is my favorite time, because nothing gets you more pumped than to see, like,
tank top
on
season.
A mission. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you right.
Till autumn, baby.
Yes.
Besides the gun show, Iffy, what's good?
Oh, man, what's good with me? Well, look, let me tell you. Finally got on that Blue Sky Social. I guess someone gave me an invite code.
Ooh, fancy man.
Yeah. If you're like looking for the death of Twitter to get off social media, then you can stop listening. But yeah, Blue Sky is the alleged new Twitter with moderation tools and no Nazis. But so far, it seems like, you know, the gates are breaking. We're like in the last season of Game of Thrones. The White Walkers have come through, it's surprising how well White Walkers work for Game of Thrones and Nazis. You're like, yeah, those are the White Walkers. But yeah,
that's in the name.
That's good. Yeah. That and, me and Mallory's partner are becoming best friends, and I'm getting into now Warhammer Age of Sigmar for more things that I feel like Alonzo might know Warhammer, though. You used to be a D&D kid.
I really just know it as a thing that Stuart Wellington is super into.
Don't pretend. Kind of where we get don't it pretend. Don't try to be cooler than you are.
I know it because Henry Cavill likes it.
So y'all know it because of meatheads, and now there's a third meathead that is putting you on to Warhammer. And yeah, somewhere Stuart Wellington's ears are hot. It's like, oh, it's time. Because I was going to do 40K, which was the Space Marines, but I got, put on to Age of Sigmar. So we're building armies. And it's funny how when you talk about a niche nerdy thing online, how many of your friends will just text you to be like, oh, welcome. Come over and paint with me. I was like, oh, okay, y'all been real private about
this. Can I say, in a related way of nerds loving specific things, when I brought up the Westing game last week, which again, not even the first time I've talked about the Westing game, I had more people write me about the Westing game and how much they loved it. And I was like, oh, good. That's my new litmus. But yes, I hear you. Nerds of all stripes.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, let's talk about the coolest nerddom of all, being a mom. We're gonna be learning how to sharpshoot
here on Maximum Film. Yeah.
You know, it's good. Everyone knows it's the age old nerddom, motherhood.
I was gonna say, one thing that nerds do love is MILFs, so we're it's a perfect marriage.
Okay, see, there it is. We found the connective tissue. It is saved. But yeah, we're learning how to sharpshoot just like Mama used to with the mother. Then we're going to nominate some mom heartthrobs in the Hall of Excellence. But first, it's time for ITIDIC, our movie news segment. That is an acronym short for Is This Important? Do I Care? Where we go through the week's movie news and answer that question. That's the word I was thinking of last week. Acronym.
Ah, acronym. Got there. It only took you a week. You got there.
Why don't you start it off, Trey?
All right. So all across France for the past couple of months, French citizens have been protesting a new law that would raise the retirement age in their country. A big time protest, riots on the streets protests. Now the city of Cannes has made a plan to keep the disruption to a minimum by banning protests along the Croisette, which is the main street in town, during the upcoming Cannes Film Festival. This by no means suggests there will not be protests happening in Cannes during the fest. There's a demonstration planned for May 21st, but it will take place a good distance away from the center of festival action. Is this important? Do you care?
This is
boo.
It's never a good sign when someone wants to ban protesters.
Well, I was going to say, you know what protesters love is set rules against protesting. It's almost as if, you know, they're going to listen to it and not just you take that as a rallying cry to disrupt it. But, you know.
My favorite response to any kind of protest is by the people who don't have a horse in either race who are like, this is really inconveniencing me. You're like, that's literally what the tools of the workers are in this moment. Thank you, man.
As somebody who spent much of the early part of this millennium in the very Orwellian designated free speech zones that George Bush created, during his tenure in office. Yeah, this is nonsense. And there is a proud history of protests at the Cannes Film Festival up to and including 1968, when they shut the whole fucking thing down because of the protests that were happening in May of 68 in France. And this seems like a squirrely American thing to do, but not a cool, unfiltered cigarette French thing to do. So frankly, I'm disappointed in our brethren across the sea, because this is, it's just not cool, France.
Not cool, France. I'll say, too, it will be interesting how it actually shakes out, because there are, and it's not just like the countrywide protests have been about this retirement age, but there's also a lot of striking and protesting hotel workers and, people in the service industry. And there's parts of each of those hotels on the Croisette mm-hmm. that are not protected because they're private property, where they don't need to have whatever they needed to have for these. And also they have fully threatened to just shut down the power to the Palais, which is such a baller move. Say on behalf of the workers, because it is hard for me as a person who is like, literally produced festivals for years and years, that it, like, if I was still running Slam Dance and this was happening, I would be just like, oh, bloody fingers all the time, because I'd be just chewing them, because you are, again, at the mercy, and there's a lot of artists there that you're trying to do good by. Obviously, most of the people who have a heads up and are part of Cannes are not like super unknown, but a lot of them aren't. Like, there's international programming. There's people who the spotlight that they get by being there, they won't get that uplift any other way. But it's also, again, that's how workers have power. That's how those things go. And to I hate when they demonize the people of this moment, should any of these things happen and interrupt the flow of the festival. It shouldn't be pointed at the people striking as being the cause of it.
Now, my clipboard holding side absolutely empathizes with the people trying to put an event on, but my Molotov cocktail half is like, no, we're not doing that.
Look. One clipboard in one hand, bomb in the other.
The new Lady Liberty.
Hell yeah.
The scales of justice, the Alonzo Duralde way.
Well, in news that truly only friends of the pod, Kevin T. Porter and Caroline Ely, might care about, PureFlix, the faith-based streaming and production company behind movies like God's Not Dead, was acquired by Sony back in 2020. Now PureFlix is merging with Great American Media, the Hallmark rival that, thanks to Alonzo, we primarily know as the Holiday Network with almost no original programming. Great American Media apparently also has channels called Great American Living and Great American Adventures they're bringing into the marriage as well. Is this important, and do you care?
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here.
Listen, I read this article, and the only thing that stuck out to me as something significant is that apparently Ted Lasso is a faith-based show. Excuse me?
Right? The Hollywood Reporter called Ted Lasso like a family-oriented show, which in its theme, yes, it is very much about family.
I thought that was an
abs-based
show.
Well, but I'll tell you, the thing is, Great American Family would refer to that show as smut because it has gay people on it and extramarital sex. So, I found
very
that
confusing.
Kind of hilarious. This is a big deal for Great American Media because they have been kind of a joke since they started, in terms of the fact that apart from a handful of Christmas movies, they pretty much live on like Columbo and Murder, She Wrote reruns. And their ratings are like a tiny fraction of Hallmark, even though they keep proclaiming themselves to be rivals to Hallmark. Now, if they can hitch their wagon to Sony in some way, that obviously is going to feed their pipeline of stuff to show. It elevates their visibility in the market, so good for them. But on the other hand, like, this is the network where most of the movies that they show, they have gotten in deals where they don't get any of the streaming rights. So if you never wanted to turn your crank to Great American Family, you could watch these exact same movies on the day they premiered on like Freevee or Peacock or a million other places. So if there's some kind of exclusivity going on, then good for them. But if this is the usual Great American Family nonsense where they're just one of a million people sharing in the pie, I don't know that it's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah, this seemed like a total Sony dumping. PureFlix, as the only one here who maybe Alonzo, has had to be subjected, makes trash. Yeah. Like, I've had to watch their stuff for festivals because I do, like, especially, you know, somewhere like Bentonville, we're looking at different faith-based elements. Like, I'm having, trying to pull in different backgrounds, different representations. So the amount of, especially, well, here is specifically Christian programming that I watch, and I'm like, do Christians not deserve better shit to view? Like,
Dave always says that they kicked all the artists out.
And it's horrifying. Yeah, they've deserved it. Like, good. You reap what you sow. But it's also funny, like, PureFlix itself as a platform only has a million subscribers. Like, if he has more than a million subscribers, that's ridiculous. And if they're just getting content out of it, but as Alonzo says, it's going elsewhere. It's basically just for the people who are like, oh, well, we only want to watch these things that are respected and they're vetted and they're only traditional, then fine. You get to watch a smaller and smaller pool of crap on this one place. Enjoy.
Yes, but with all the sanctimony built in.
Yeah.
So probably what is airing on the PureFlix Great American Family hybrid will not be popping up on the Criterion Channel, which is, that's fine by me. But Janus Films, a longtime supporter and distributor of art house classics, is teaming up with Criterion to release more new films on home video. Following theatrical releases and streaming runs on the Criterion Channel, these movies, dubbed Janus Contemporaries, will be released on Blu-ray and DVD. The inaugural slate of Janus Contemporaries will include EO, No Bears, and The Eight Mountains, among other titles. Is this important? Do you care?
I mean, just that inaugural slate. Come on. If you said that you were releasing one of those films this year, you could be pretty smug about it. Those are some beautifully made.
Two of those were on my top 10 of 2022.
Yeah. And like The Eight Mountains will probably be this year. Like,
yeah.
They're, yeah. I mean, it's also, this is the exact opposite, right? Like, this is how curation and taste, and if you have built a brand for yourself, and both of these have, like, Janus Films and then Criterion, you say those things and people who know them are like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll watch it. I trust in that. And like, that's the most you could want as a platform, as a distributor, as a supporter. And so doing those, and then a lot, because, you know, these are all of those are international, not English language films. They're all subtitled. And so really kind of upping the visibility of that. It's a market that even people who love film can be kind of hesitant to dive into. So who knows if like the additional like...
And it's physical media helps too, which is what's great.
Yes.
Because like Criterion Channel has, you know, they got the premieres of EO and No Bears, and I assume we'll be getting Eight Mountains, and that's great, and that definitely widens the reach for these movies. But having it on DVD, Blu-ray means like it's going to be in Barnes & Noble next to all the Criterion stuff. It's going to be maybe at your local library. It is physical media, which is, as we always say on the show, important and valuable and needs to continue. So yeah, I like all of this.
Yes.
The only bad thing is this means that my boyfriend's gonna have to buy more Blu-rays and we just don't have the space for that.
Make room.
You got no room on your shelves. We can see that. Yeah. We know that.
On that note, we're gonna take a quick break, but when we come back, we're gonna talk about The Mother.
Trans representation in media is at an all-time high, with trans entertainers gracing the screens large and small.
But trans voices, especially Black trans voices, are rarely centered in our own stories.
That's why we bring you a new limited series called We See Each Other, the podcast, co-hosted by me, journalist, and better half of the Max Fun podcast, Fanti, Travel Anderson,
and me, award-winning journalist and media personality, Char Jocelle.
All of it is based on my book, We See Each Other, A Black Trans Journey Through TV and Film.
Now listen, folks, we're having a very different kind of conversation. It's giving kitchen table talk.
Mm-hmm. We get into the discourse, honey. Tune into We See Each Other, the podcast at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get Slayworthy audio.
back to Maximum Film. I'm your host, Ivy Wadue. In the studio with me are...
Drea Clark.
Mallory O'Mara.
Alonzo Duralde.
And today's movie comes to us from director Nicky Caro, who brought us Whale Rider, McFarland, USA, and The Zookeeper's Wife. It stars Jennifer Lopez, the star of Selena, Hustlers, and Marry Me. And now, they're working together for the first time. And what they've cooked up might surprise you. I'm just going to say, super producer Marissa, those three movies. I mean, Marry Me, we're not going to talk about Jiggly.
Well, certainly, we definitely need an explanation.
Who is this Jennifer Lopez person? Yes. I need
definitely
credits.
Needed some clarity.
Yeah, yeah, just in case. You might have forgot Jenny done. From the Block. Yes. Alonzo, would you mind giving us a brief synopsis of The Mother?
Sure. So Jennifer Lopez is the mother. And by that, I mean she has no name in this film. She is just the mother. We first meet her when she is trying to turn state's evidence to the FBI in exchange for witness protection. But there is no protection for the mother because some very bad people are after her. One of whom stabs her in the gut, and it's only then we discovered that, wah-wah, she's pregnant, but she survives, the baby survives. Cut ahead 12 years, the very bad people are out for vengeance, they want to kidnap the mother's daughter, the mother must go after them in Cuba, in Alaska, and blood is shed, and lessons are learned along the way about parenting and being a child and field dressing a duck. The mother.
Yeah. That was.
I went into this movie wanting to see Jennifer Lopez punch things. Like, that's all I wanted. That's all I cared about. My only.
You wanted the third act from Enough.
Yes, that's all. I didn't care about any plot.
Which is all
I just wanted
I want
to see her
time.
Punch stuff. But my biggest qualm with this movie is it could have been a full 40% hornier. Okay, we have Jennifer Lopez in a thruple with international arms dealing criminals, and we just breeze right past that. It is never brought up. I never see a single butt like. I got to knock off like a full letter grade for that.
And these are, it's not like she's involved with a couple of doggos either. We're talking about Joseph Fiennes and Gael Garcia Bernal here.
Why is this not a hornier movie?
This movie was really, so it's interesting because it is very much set up as an action film. And you're like, great, so she's born if born gave birth and has to like go back and like protect that baby. Except for it. And I enjoyed it. I will say I enjoyed this movie more than I thought I would. I was like kind of ready to grit my teeth through it because we've also covered a number like the Rhythm Section was a film that I had high hopes for with very similar like, oh, I like the pedigree of the female filmmakers. I like seeing what Blake Lively could do in that space. I wanted better things for Peppermint, the terrible Jennifer Garner action. Like, I'm down for this kind of movie, and they keep disappointing me. So that this one, I was like, oh, I'm clicking along, and I like a lot of these choices. But I agree with Mallory. It's that it fell short in ways that I was like, oh, that would have been easy to explore. And you are 100% correct. My same thing of what I wanted more from was the, like, flashback of the person she was when she was, like you said, in this very undefined relationship with these two men who are absolute trash. And then I'm like, so wait, were you also trash? Like, is the only thing good you ever did in your life give birth? And what is that saying? Like,
well, that's one of the things about this movie. And there's a lot that I enjoyed about it, but there are some script things that it kind of hits a wall where you're like, wait, what? So basically the idea that she is this combat veteran, and she realizes there's nothing waiting for her in the civilian world. So, of course, she's going to sign on to this, like, black ops mercenary thing where they're going to be running guns and, you know, the highest bidder and da-da-da. And she's fine for all of that. And then suddenly she is shocked to discover that these guys are up to something even worse. And then that's the deal breaker for her. And that's where she walks away and goes to the feds. And it's like, lady, what did you sign on for exactly?
You're arming cartels. Why do you now care about people? And they never,
what's
like,
the limits
that's
to this?
So much juiciness that they could have gotten into, or that the idea of the vulnerability of being pregnant, what that did to her moral compass and like how that changed her life. Like, there were a lot of little things to explore, and there was a lot more hotness that could have been there. I did get a shirtless scene with Omari Hardwick, and yeah. I will be grateful for that for all of my days.
But not enough. Well, not enough.
Yeah. Not enough.
But yeah. We're going to get to that.
It was a little too tasteful.
Yeah, my thing is, that kind of tracked me. I get the dissociation of, like, gun running and dealing with money there, and then seeing, like, you know, human trafficking and being like, ah,
this is where it is. Oh, yeah, you just described the U.S. government. Fair enough. Yeah,
you know, I see that. But with me, it's like, there's just so many, like, why were they interrogating this woman in this building with the most windows I've ever seen in a home? And this is supposed to be like a government like deal. Safe why house. Is this not in an yes. office? Like, why are we in this building in the middle of nowhere, as far away from backup as possible? This guy gets shot. This agent, you killed everyone except him. yeah. And then also there's just this disconnection with the daughter, where it felt like she was used as a MacGuffin, because every time it was like, why are you taking her? It's like, oh, to get to you, I think. It was like, then get her. Like, why? Like,
yeah, like she's right, like, here.
Yeah, she's like, why is this? Like, we need to get to her daughter. We did all this work to find her daughter, who we're gonna capture, and who knows what we're gonna do. Like, both men captured the daughter and was like, I don't know what to do with you. And we never investigated the idea of, like, because there was this fun, interesting thing where it's like, who is the actual father? And they just threw their hands up at that, where it was only mentioned once, where he's like, am I your dad? Never. He never cared again. And it didn't matter, because he stabbed the stomach. like there was just so much, like, so many nuggets of something, like, bigger that it could be, that was just kind of left on the table for, you know, sweaty hand-to-hand combat action shots with J-Lo, which
I'll take.
Mike Mallory, action, not mad though. With not mad
I'm not mad yeah. about it. See, my whole thing about action movies is, action movies are really just fantasy films. Action movies are fantasy films for people who aren't cool enough to be nerds. You know, that is why every 50-year-old white straight dad in America cranks off to a Tom Clancy thing. Like, that's the best best action movies are fantastical. They're ridiculously over the top, and you don't care because it's so fun. And I just wish this movie went a little farther. Like, I get really burnt out on, like, the gritty, realistic action movies that started coming out in the 2000s and are still kind of around. Like, let's see J-Lo in a fucking tank top in sweaty clothes punching a guy. Let's have, like, a cool sex scene, and then they both have to, like, naked fight. Like, let's go all the way here.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't stop.
The one idea this movie wants to keep hammering home is this idea of, she's a badass, but she's a mother, you know? So they're like, yeah, there's a motorcycle chase where she doesn't run over a group of school children because she's a mother. You know, she doesn't shoot a wolf who has pups because she's a mother. And it's, I mean, that's, you could go somewhere with that, and you could make that like a real sort of plot hingy moment later, where she's torn between her two, like, instincts of survival or whatever. But again, it that just kind of feels tacked on. You have this, what I thought, at least we're going to get a nice Searchers ending, where she realizes that, you know, she needs to be separate from this girl's life because she's so broken by her experiences and can't be part of, you know, the mainstream world. But no, they kind of like wimp out on that one too. And if you're going to give me a J-Lo who is lethal, then, like, also I want her to be as witty as she was in Out of Sight. You know, that's the J-Lo I like most. And grunty J-Lo is less interesting for me.
Yeah. I was going to say, at first I was like, oh, they don't even give her a fucking name. Like, ridiculous. And then I was like, okay, cool. Maybe she's like the Terminator. Like, let's make her like the mother. Let's make her so wild and over the top. She's lifting the motorcycle over her head and throwing it at people because she has mom strength, you know, and it just didn't quite hit there for me.
Yeah, I think you kind of tacked on the one kind of hinging thing, and Alonzo too, where there's a split, right? Where there's a version of this where you have someone who is very thoughtful about their, you know, motherhood and what it means to be a mother and why they can't be involved in this child's life. And that being hinging on the plot device of these group of men being after her. And I think that version of the story doesn't even need the daughter, where it's like, I can finally be in my daughter's life when I kill these two men. Because that's truly, right. When I looked at it, I was like, oh, you don't need the adoptive mom anymore. You've killed the only reason you were in witness protection. You know, and it seems like the daughter is so gung-ho to be your daughter now. So there's like the separation and that trying to have that forced evidence didn't work. Or there's the version where, like Alonzo's saying, she's just this machine killer, almost John Wick-esque hired gun, where she does not know how to be a mother. She barely knows how to be human. But those instincts are kicking in and the change. And we're seeing that with the wolf and small things. But when she's like interacting in like the badass mode, she's very like calculated, cold. And she doesn't even know how to talk to her daughter. Like those are two really good separate movies. And I think it was smushed in this idea of, well, we're really trying to drive home. Like it really felt like they were like, we're going to do a Mother's Day action movie and it's going to be really cool. Like that's what it felt like by the end of it, because it felt like the actual like story and the world that they built just didn't really hold together for me, which is like not that hard in an action movie. Like you, like there's in John Wick, it's like, it's a hotel of assassins. No one knows about it. It uses a special currency. That and that that is not a deep, well, like it's it's like it's just like a basic idea, and that's all we needed to know. It tells you so much. But in this one, I'm looking at the flashback and I'm like, why is this like black market guns dealer working with the U.S. military and is training them? Like, I didn't get that transition at all. It seemed like he trained me, and he also did evil stuff too. And it's like, oh man, that seems like really just like eventually the U.S. would find you. Like,
also he's British.
Yeah.
I do think this is one of the things where I found less that there were a lot of holes to the story, which is typically what we find, and more, oh, you had all of these avenues you could have explored further. Yes. That would have enriched it a lot, and I'm sad that you didn't, but I knew what was going on all the time, which is a real basic thing to ask for a film, and yet so many fall down. But I do think one of the things that this film does really well is it rotates around Jennifer Lopez's star performance. Like, she is a star like Tom Cruise is a star, right? Like, she was giving 100%. She's like, I am emoting. I am working out. I am only eating meat. Like, whatever she was doing, like, everything. Like, she's so focused. She's so present. But she has so much, like, you're just drawn to her all the time. And how that can elevate and shape a whole thing. And I wonder if a lot of the things I wasn't forgiving weren't just because she was so good. So, like, that there's lacking this other texture to it. Like I said, there's a really interesting moral ambiguity to her backstory. And then she is just, like puritanically good with what she's choosing moving forward. And, like, the shift in that, that's the complications, that's fascinating. Why didn't I get any more of that?
That's, for me, the best part of the movie was her training her daughter. And I was kind of bummed out that the kid ended up being kind of fucking useless at the end. Like, how cool would it have been if that little kid, like, grabbed that gun and took out her crappy dad? Like, and then Jennifer Lopez could have had a moment where she was like, ooh, I taught this kid too good. I am negatively impacting this kid.
Well, she sort of
I need
does.
To get out of her life.
Because I think that she, A, we see her drive the car, which she's been like, I'm 13, I don't drive. And she's like, you're going to someday drive out of here. And she's like, yeah, she did. She had to drive to save the day. And she takes the shot. And I think she hits the shot she intends to. And it also means that this movie doesn't end with that kid with, a kill on her hands of like, now you're a 13-year-old that's taken a human life.
Well, I think that's making a choice, right? Like that is because they were building up this whole thing where she's like, do not do this. And she's prevented her from killing all this time. And, you know, to me, it's like, yeah, I was waiting for that moment for that to happen and her realize the change, the negative change she had. And to me, then that would make sense when she's like, I'm not going to be in your life. You have this trauma because of me. But now it's like, no, I'm going to give you the trauma of blowing this guy's brains out right next to you. And you're...
yeah, but hear me out. Jennifer Lopez mother-daughter fight sequence. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Save it for the sequel.
Yeah.
No. That's the thing, though. I would 100% give my money to see another Jennifer Lopez action movie. Consider me signed up. I think she's an action star. I'd pay to see 3 hours of her punching people in the face. Like, totally sold.
No, I just to circle back. I think that if the daughter had killed the dad, then it would have just been it would have gone back to the moment of like, it's nature. You can't do anything about it. You know, I think they even set up for that. In a way that it could have just been like, it was you or him, you know, this is the thing you had to do. And I don't think it would necessarily be a traumatic event because the guy is presented as so despicable and so intent on doing harm to her. But yeah, the movie doesn't want to commit to that because Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I don't know. So yeah, it just feels like yet another cop out.
But they do use a Kate Bush song, which is big points in my book.
Yeah, but that song was first used in She's Having a Baby, and every time I hear it in a movie after that, I think, She's Having a Baby, already used this one.
Do you think that was their thematic tie? That they were like, remember, She's Having a Baby? Mother? Anybody? Mallory, I'm assuming you've seen it, but Shotgun Wedding with J-Lo actually
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a lot more fun than I was expecting. It is a rom-com action movie where, yes, does she fully like rip off the bottom of her wedding dress so she can more ably get around the jungle with a gun? Yes, she does.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Is she quipping with Josh Duhamel the whole time? Yeah, yes, she is.
Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah. But the pedigree of this film is the other reason I would think I was more surprised or disappointed by not following these. Like, you know, in addition to reading the little background of what else Jennifer Lopez has done, like Nikki Caro obviously has like an incredible history. And then the key writer, and I think story by and was one of the written bys, is Misha Green, who's the creator of Lovecraft Country. And then like two other people who I now can't remember anything they've done, but they were both in that sort of vein.
Andrea Berloff, who was one of the writers of Straight Outta Compton, and yeah. Then and Bloodfather, which is a movie I liked a lot, and then Peter Craig, who has a story credit on Top Gun Maverick and co-wrote Bad Boys for Life and The Batman. So
The Batman, like I wanted those people. Like, I mean, if us on our podcast can throw out some things that would have juiced this up.
Nikki Caro is coming off of Mulan, which we did not love, as I recall. So, you know, who knows what's going on over there. But I think that this movie has these elements that elevate the expectation. I will say, if anything lowered my expectations, it is that this was a Netflix original. And, you know, Lon Harris on Twitter has this really great thing where he has turned Red Notice into a genre. Where, like, there are the Ghosting on Apple TV Plus is a Red Notice movie, and that time travel one with Ryan Reynolds is a Red Notice movie. It's these, like, really expensive, tons of stars, lots of green screen, nonsensical script, like, quippy in a vacuum,
Would fit that. Would you, like, to me, this doesn't fit the Red Notice.
This is not a Red Notice movie. But going in, I just thought, it's a Netflix original action movie with Jennifer Lopez.
The female action original Netflix that they did was Gunpowder Milkshake.
There you go.
Which was the like, a lot of famous people, a lot of great premise, a lot of green, a lot of ball dropping. And not the good kind of balls. You know what I'm saying?
Not the kind that should have been happening in this movie.
Vote.
Yeah, the way that we vote for things on this pod is screen it being the highest, stream it being the next level, and skip it being self-explanatory. So who wants to start?
Well, it's cheating since this is a Netflix movie, but it's a stream it for me. There's fun stuff. There's exciting sequences. There's an interesting premise that isn't fully, I think, seen all the way through. But, Jennifer Lopez is a fucking movie star, and she can totally do the kind of physicality and the, you know, the she brings the right kind of gravitas to this and doesn't let it become like a complete bummer at the same time. But she also deserves better. So, you know, yeah, it's a laundry fold movie. It's a two tweet movie if you're a pirate on the internet. And yeah, but like almost a full 2 hours. Just get ready for that.
This is also a stream it for me. Like I said, I enjoyed this a lot more than I did. And I do have a lot of kind of story nitpicks. I think there's so much texture that could have been added. But you know what? Her skin had zero texture, and I was transfixed by that throughout. Her biceps, everything about her, she's incredible. She also looked at Jennifer Aniston in We're the Millers being like, please film me looking crazy hot as a middle-aged woman. And Jennifer Lopez was like, I want to do that as well. Is there a dress? Can we have a flashback where I put a dress on and just blow everyone's minds?
That wasn't
the
just
butt
a
shot.
Female?
The single butt shot we got, it was, I mean, we should have had 50 more, but ooh, what a butt shot.
Ooh. I mean, this is doing a lot of heavy lifting, that butt shot.
It's like a Garbo close-up. They make you wait for it. And then,
yeah. But a stream it for me. I enjoyed this despite myself. How's that?
Yes.
Mallory, what was your take?
I feel the same way. You know, this is if you want to get high and watch Jennifer Lopez punch bad guys, like, this is a good time. If just don't think too hard about it. Don't watch it when you're horny because it's not going to help you out. But I just think it was fun. I don't ask a lot out of action movies. That's really the thing. I just want to see car chases. You got to see one bad guy get hit by a car and fly through the air. You got to see Jennifer Lopez punch a guy with a bunch of barbed wire around her fist. Like, I'll take it. You know, it's not a movie I would not have seen this in theaters, but you can 100% stream it and have a good time.
Yeah. Same thing here. I mean, I feel like I'm someone who gets excited by worlds built. I think we are in an era where action movies not only have a bunch of kick-ass action, but also builds interesting worlds like the John Wicks, like the Old Guard, things like that. So, you know, that's kind of what I was hoping for this. I was hoping a Bourne-esque kind of lead into this, maybe into a passing of the torch. But like many have said, Jennifer Lopez looking real snackish, a whole movie, utility. If you like a utility mommy, guess what? You're going to get it.
A cargo pants mom.
Yeah.
She spits into a handkerchief and closes a wound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great. You don't get to see the super hot, too hot people banging sex scene you were hoping for. But you know what?
You also don't have to watch a woman doing a fight or a run in heels. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
One or the huzzah. Other.
Yeah, I don't think Ben Affleck would have let it. I feel like it's very Boston of him being like, well, watch your hands, mister. Watch out. Hey, that's, get your...
That's my dad.
A perfect Boston accent. Flawless.
Watch your hands. Okay,
oh, God, well, I'm so offended right now.
Some actor said that if you talk like you're chewing gum, that's how you do a Boston accent. It has
so
yet
offended.
To work for me. Yeah, yeah. No, M has not been happy about my Austin. He said if Josh Gondelman heard my Boston accent, he would stop allowing me to call it the chutes. So
that's the one. I'm from New England. I'm from Massachusetts, and my boyfriend, that's the one accent he can't do is a Massachusetts accent, and it will always elude him. It's the one thing that he cannot conquer.
I just gotta keep and try and do my best CT, you know, which we love CT in this house, for all my challenge heads.
My future husband.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be right back after we hear from another show for Maximum Fun.
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom,
Diablo 4,
Final Fantasy 16,
Street Fighter 6,
Baldur's Gate 3,
Starfield,
Spider-Man 2,
Master Detective Archives Rain Code for Nintendo Switch? No, is that just me?
It's a huge time for video games.
You need somebody to tell you what's good, what's not so good, and what's amazing.
I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton. We're the hosts of Triple Click, a video game podcast for anyone who likes games.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Well, Welcome back to Maximum Film. I'm your host, Ify Wadiway. In the studio with me are...
Alonzo Duralde.
Mallory O'Mara.
Drea Clark.
And last Sunday was Mother's Day, which may just be why they chose the weekend to release a movie called The Mother. Here at Maximum Film, all this adds up to the perfect time to return to the Hall of Excellence for a category suggested a few months back. Mom heartthrobs. We aren't talking about moms who are heartthrobs, like Jennifer Lopez, maybe. We're talking about actors that moms love to crush on. Who knows? Maybe one of the nominees will fall into both categories. Anything goes. Who wants to jump in? Based on Drea's...
I read this totally wrong. I was thinking of moms that are heartthrobs.
I read this wrong, but mine actually still works.
No, this is the hunks of either gender that mommies are into.
Okay.
Well, but mine will still work.
I need a moment. But you guys go ahead. I'll figure something out.
Kick it off.
Since mine will be the trad one, I guess. So, my own mother, big fan of Humphrey Bogart and Clark Gable, but you know that's another era, so I don't think they're really that's Hall of Excellence material. I'll tell you, I know a lot of real moms thanks to my work with Deck the Hallmark and getting to know their very devoted listener base. So I will tell you who moms crush on these days, and that would be a Canadian actor named Tyler Hines. Now, Drea will know who I'm talking about because he plays Long Dick Dirks on Letterkenny. But if you are a Hallmark fan, you very much know who Tyler Hines is, and you have illicit thoughts about him. He does their Christmas movies. He does their non-Christmas movies. He rides a motorcycle. Sometimes he'll wear a Henley. He has a fan base that's actually obsessed with the idea of what shirts he's wearing and getting them from him after a shoot is over. So I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, ask 100 moms and you will hear about how great they think Tyler Hines is.
Amazing.
Yes, indeed.
I love the specificity. Mallory, I'm edge of my seat on who you have.
So
you were so excited.
The person I'm about to name can be used as a Voight comp test for anybody who is, if you're wondering if they're a robot, if someone has just got hit by a car and you want to make sure they're alive, just all you have to do is show them one clip. We all know the clip. Jamie Lee Curtis from True Lies. Everybody wants to fuck Jamie Lee Curtis from True Lies. Not only is she the pinnacle of MILF cinema, but it doesn't matter what gender you are. You watch that sequence where she's doing the strip tease for Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're in. You would let her run you over with her car.
I love that so much. And the
she can audit my taxes.
The only hiccup I have, right? She can get all over me with her hot dog fingers. my only qualm is that my mother... enormously resembles Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh God,
like hair and everything. So I'm like, oh, I don't feel great about you saying that. But I mean, good
but
for
you
her,
know that
but...
it's true. You know that it is true.
Yes. Oh, 100%. 100%. You speak the truth. Yes.
Oh wow. Well, all right. Mine. Look, I know who makes the moms go crazy. It's none other than Mr. Patrick Swayze. That's my pick right there. Sweating up when he's dirty dancing,
he's
getting his hands all muddy and ghost. This is a man who taught me how to be a thought dad. I mimic everything you see, every shirtless, moist pic of my chest. Just know I'm doing my best Patrick Swayze impersonation.
In his mind, if he's at the Roadhouse.
If he lives at the Roadhouse,
Yes.
Okay.
That's my pick.
I worry again. I feel, you know, if he's not wrong, he has the populist view out of all of us, so fair enough. But I am going to speak to a broader realm of mom. Paul Newman should not be left out of this conversation. Paul Newman has been favored by mothers for decades, with us or departed. He not only absolutely stunning human being, like the eyes, the everything. He also has some great greased up shots if you want to seek inspiration there, Iffy. But... is there anything more appealing to a woman on this planet than a man who is faithfully besotted to his own partner and mother of his children for decades and decades, like he was with Joanne Woodward. There's a whole documentary you can watch speaking to the loveliness of their connection. Paul Newman. Alonso, he must have a ye old time nickname. He's not old Blue Eyes because that's old Frankie, but.
Definitely the Blue Eyes came up, but he didn't get his. I don't think he ever had like a sobriquet per se. But
listen, he's either Butch Cassidy or the Sundance Kid. No one knows. There's no way to tell.
God, yes. If only Robert Redford and the word Sundance had some kind of ongoing meaning.
That would help people clue in, but no one ever did that.
Indeed. Remains a mystery.
Paul Newman. Vote for Paul Newman.
Yeah, well, you know, just remember my slick rhyme whenever you want to click on who you want to vote, which is half inspired by one of my favorite tweets of all time.
Where I know exactly
don't
the
get,
one.
Get drunk.
Uh-oh, things are getting kind of hazy.
It's such a great joke. Gotta say, shout out to that tweetor. But yeah, go ahead and vote for me if you know what's good for you.
What's good for you.
Hey, if Tyler Hines wins, we could actually get him to give an acceptance speech. So I'm just going to throw that out.
Okay, that actually is pushing me because the first Hall of Excellence acceptance speech definitely gets me going. But now it's your turn. Vote for your favorite nominee in our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/maximumfilm. And we'll let you know the winner next week. But now it's time for staff picks. It could be any movie at all.
Okay, I definitely have one, and when I was watching, and honestly, it is possible this was a staff pick again of mine recently, because I love this movie and I rewatched it again, but watching this, I was like, I know what Mallory wants. Mallory wants to be watching The Long Kiss Goodnight with Ms. Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson, best motion pictures ever made. But like, if you want an action film about a mother who getting back to her child and having like, a morally complicated past and like, giving birth and being this different person completely changed my own internal compass. Also, I'm going to cut off my hair and bleach it and smoke and make jokes. Like, it's quippy as shit. It's so fun. It's great action. It's absolutely Shane Black stupidness. It's currently on HBO Max. You can rent and buy it anywhere.
And?
Oh my God.
And?
What am I missing?
And?
It's a Christmas movie!
It's a Christmas movie!
Oh my God, you're right.
Oh my God. Thank God. I was going to feel like I really let you down there. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, what a great movie.
My staff pick is in theaters, and hopefully when this episode drops, it maybe is opening near you beyond its original play dates in New York and Los Angeles. If it's not yet, keep an eye out for it because it'll get there, or you know, it'll be streaming, whatever. But this is my favorite film of 2023 so far. It is an Italian film called L'Immensità. Starring Penelope Cruz as the mother of three children in early 70s Italy. Her oldest is a trans son is a trans boy who goes by Andrea, but everyone calls his birth name Adriana. But you know, he is very clear about who he is. But it's early 70s Italy, so nobody gets it or has a name to put on it or figures out what's going on. There are other issues that are at play in the family that are making things difficult besides Andrea's gender expression. But it is a beautifully crafted family film. There's a great relationship again between the mother and child and some musical flights of fancy, some diegetic, some non-diegetic that had me just like with my hands on my chin. I was just having the greatest time. So yeah, it's a beautiful film. I very highly recommend L'Immensità.
I can't wait to see that.
L'Immensità.
Mallory, what you got?
Mallory.
Okay. Have the three of you seen Piggy?
Wait.
I saw Pig. Which one's Piggy?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Piggy was my favorite movie of last year. I have become the cheerleader for this film. It is a Spanish film directed and written by Carlotta Pereda.
Didn't see it. I know what you're talking about.
It's a teen movie, and it's almost both a reverse slasher film and a reverse romance film. It is, I watch a lot of movies that are horror movies. It's really all I care about. And I'm never been a big fan of slashers. So when I started this, I was sort of like, we'll see how this goes. And from the first frame, one, you would walk into traffic for the main character. And two, it just consistently surprises you and delights you. This movie never goes where you think it's going to go. All the performances are brilliant. It is so complicated and funny and weird and gory and just absolutely fucking brilliant. You can get it streaming on Apple, I think, right now.
Hulu.
And if you are, or Hulu, if I don't know if you have to pay for it or not, but it is worth it if you do. It is just, I still think about that movie like every single day. It is absolutely incredible.
I can't wait. I've heard great things about that too.
Oh.
It's going on the list.
Yeah. Ooh, it's made it on the list. Well, you know, I'm going to keep it simple. We actually talked about this movie here, but, you know, I'm gonna get your J-Lo night going. And I'm going to say Hustlers. Great performance by J-Lo. Really, I think, like, everyone thought she was going to get the nod that year. But, you know, there's still time.
Affleck will get her one. Mark my words. He'll get her there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really, like, Affleck is, I'm like, as a director, I'm like, oh, I like what you're cooking up. You know, not like he's new to the game or anything, but like recently he's been having a lot of hits I'm fucking with. So yeah. Also, hey Ben, I know you listen. Hire me. And don't also skip past the, even though you probably listen to it. Ignore the Boston accent.
If me and Emily will train you, we got you covered. We'll get you there.
And before anybody sends me letters, yes, Hustler's kind of a Christmas movie.
Yeah. It counts. We'll take it.
Thank you to Mallory O'Mara. Yay! How about you tell the folks about that new book and anything else you want to plug?
Yeah. So if you are a mother, perhaps, of some sort of kid in your life, my new book is called Girls Make Movies. It is out May 23rd, and I think it is two things. It is possibly the first kids book ever aimed at young girls about filmmaking. Like the first ever book about filmmaking for girls, and also maybe the first ever choose your own adventure style nonfiction book. It takes you through all the stages of making a movie, from idea to red carpet, and it teaches young girls how that happens, how movies are made, how you get a job in the film industry, all kinds of cool, very varied women's cinema history and facts. And it's really, really fun. It's illustrated by my friend Jen Vaughn. The way that you move through the book is you are trying to create a movie. You're trying to create a fictional zombie movie, and you make choices. You are in the director's seat. Do you want those zombies to be practical effects? You flip to one page and meet all these other crew members. Or if you want them to be CGI, you flip to another page and meet another part of the crew. And your choices matter. So sometimes you might make too many bad choices and have to start all the way over at the beginning because the producer yelled at you and you spent too much money. It's really fun. I'm really excited. It's the movie, or it's the book that I really wanted as an 11-year-old film nerd who was growing up in the age before IMDb and didn't know anything about how movies were made, and would like watch movies from 6 inches away and try to figure out what a best boy was and what a grip was, and then I would go to the library and every book there was like a 800-page honker made for 60-year-old men. Like, it's the book that I always wanted, and I'm really happy that it exists in the world.
Yay, nice. For you! I can't wait to see it.
It's very cute. Jen knocked it out of the park. The art is absolutely amazing.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah, cooking up good stuff, always. You know, been hyped since you first told me about it on that boat. And now we've made it all the way here on the internet. So, it's here. Go get it.
Ray, you and I have to go on a cruise since apparently we're the only people on Earth not invited on that one. So.
Yeah. We need the Maximum Fun Cruise. That's what we need.
I know. Ooh. Jesse, get that going.
Let's start manifesting.
That would be so fun. Just do Max FunCon, but on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a boat.
I like it.
Dre and Alonzo, thank you for another wonderful show. And next week, it's finally happened. I'd say all roads lead to this, but it's been announced that it's going to be 3 movies. We're talking about Fast X.
Woohoo!
Everyone is equally pumped and excited and ready to watch this. Everyone,
e-
cannot wait. The Corona. Fast Family rides again. And listeners, we have a favor to ask. If you're a fan of this show, head over to MaximumFun.org/hotline and leave us a short message saying why you like it. We might use your audio in an upcoming ad or episode. Come on now. Don't you want to be the voice of Max Film? If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us at Maximum_Film. Our Facebook group can be found at www.facebook.com/groups/MaximumFilm or send us an email at MaximumFilm@MaximumFun.org. Our producer is the wonderful Marissa Flaxbart. Our senior producer is the pro-live listener, Laura Swisher. And this is a production of Maximum Fun. Bye-bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.